That is your spiritual destiny. You are not here in this world to work for things. You know, they're talking about people. Well, oh, somebody said that Reverend Ike worships money. Uh-uh. It's the people that don't have money that worship money more than the people who have it. Because when you don't have money, you're thinking about it all the time. How am I going to get money for my mortgage? How am I going to get money for my rent? How am I going to get money for my car note? How am I going to get money for my children? How am I going to get money? How am I going to get money? How am I going to get money? The person that's got it, don't even worry about it. Don't even have to think about it. And you see, you come to that ultimate realization, and Dr. McCarthy is going to put this on the screen. The ultimate realization that brings money to you. Here it is. I am money. You see, I am is God. And whatever you add to I am, you become. Whatever you add to I am is added unto you. Did you get it? I'm going to have you repeat it after me. I am is God.
I am is God.
Whatever you add to I am,
whatever you add to I am,
you become.
Whatever you add to I am,
is added unto you.
That's
why we are told in the commandments, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The theologians have no idea what that means. Every time you add something negative to I am, you take the name of the Lord in vain. That this is why the mystic in the scriptures teaches us, let the weak say, I am strong. If you don't understand that, you will think that you're being told to lie. But you see, it does not say, let the weak say, I am weak. Why? Because I am weak is not the truth, it is a lie. That's the lie. Another song on our Don't You Ever Sing That In Here is that I am weak, but thou art strong. You have just cursed. The dirtiest, lowest curse. You have taken the name of the Lord in vain. And of course, the name of the Lord is the nature of the law. Now listen to the rest of the commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. What does it mean? If you say, I am weak, the Lord of the law will give you weakness. That is the nature of the law. Let me hear you say, that is the nature of the law. You see, we've got to come to understand God and the Lord as principle. Now, this is what the theologians don't want you all to get a hold of. You know, the Ten Commandments are not just a bunch of thou shalt nots because God wanted to stop you from having fun. Thou shalt not commit adultery, he wanted to stop you from catching AIDS. Well, now let me stop meddling and go back to teaching. There's a reason. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Every time you say I am, you take the name of the Lord. Every mind takes the name of the Lord when it says I am. Let me hear everybody say, I am.
I am.
Now you're taking the name of the Lord. You have taken it. Now what are you going to do with it? Don't mess it up. I remember down south, we always said, and the older people always said to us, don't play with God. You see, people are unconscious of their power. Regardless of who you are, regardless of whether you know what you're doing or not, every mind takes the name of the Lord. Every mind takes the name of the Lord. Whenever you think consciously or subconsciously or unconsciously, I am, you take the name of the Lord. You are dealing with the nature of the law. You are dealing with the nature of divine principle. And you are going to get a reaction. According to the nature of what you add to I am. When I was that poor black boy, parting my clothes to get dimes to go to school, to get up to go to school here in New York. And I walked down Central Park West and around the corner onto Fifth Avenue, and I saw those funny looking cars. I didn't know what they were, but I liked them. There was something in me that said to me, that's you. And I took the name of the Lord and said, I am that I am. I've never seen anything like that in Ridgeland, South Carolina, but I liked it. And I saw those ritzy looking people get out of it and go into the Essex House and go into the plaza. And so I drew near and read Rolls Royce. And I stood back and looked and smiled and said, I am that I am. I looked through the Palladian windows of the Plaza Hotel into the Edwardian room, through the Austrian shades, and saw those elegant ladies and gentlemen sitting, feasting on pheasant under glass and filet mignon, washing it down with Dom Perignon. I didn't have a dime for the subway, but I looked in and I smiled and I said, I am that I am. And the Lord did not hold me guiltless. As a point, I took my church twice to have an anniversary banquet at the plaza. In the grand ballroom. Why? Because I remembered when I was on the outside looking in. I said, but now God's got us on the inside. Look at us. Glory to God. Let me hear you say, I see myself.
I feel myself.
I am. On the inside.
On the inside.
Looking out.
Looking out.
Whatever you want to get into, go on and get into it in your mind. Look out the window of that Rolls Royce. Look out the window of that 40th floor Trump condominium. In your mind. And your behind will follow your mind. What did God say to Abram or somebody? A lot of preachers here, they can tell me who it was. Was it Moses said, I'm going to pass by. To Moses, I'm going to pass by. Said, now you will not see my face. See, because the face is what I am. But you'll see what? My back, what comes behind me. When you say I am, that's God's face. The manifestation that comes behind it is God's behind. Woo! What kind of theology is this? Heresy. You see, you couldn't stand to see God's face. That would kill you, you know, because it's what's up front that counts. They say, I'm not going to let you see that. Nobody can see with the natural eye how just simply using I am is going to work. Say, you silly folks, you're down there talking about I am this, I am that, I'm the other. Got them poor folks down there can hardly pay their rent talking about I am rich. Oh, but don't you worry about him. God says you see what comes behind. You that came here to this seminar, you're going to see what comes behind. And listen to these prosperity tapes, and something's coming behind it. What is it that comes behind it? Whatever is the nature of your thought, whatever is the nature of your belief, let the weak say, I'm strong. That's God's face. The intellect can't see how that's going to work. You see, what trips a lot of you up is that you have too much sense. You see too much, you see. That's why God won't let you see his face. You see too much already. You see why you can't. You know good why you can't. Well, first of all, I ain't got no money. Well, that's why you take the name of the Lord and say, I am money. Amen. then money will come behind it. And not only will you see it, but everybody else will see it. You have to move out of that neighborhood because you can't park your Rolls Royce in there. You have to move out of them projects because you'll be afraid to walk down the hall with all that jewelry on. You'll have to move somewhere else because you'll be afraid somebody will jerk all that mink that drips off of you. I'm gonna move way on the outskirts of town. Do, 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 do. And I'm going to warn you, this stuff is dangerous. You're going to have to make some adjustments. You know, don't be like the lady that I wrote to some years ago down in Alabama, you know. And I said to her, I want you to move in faith. She wrote me back and said, Dear Reverend Ike, I just moved last month. I can't move again this month. You know, you got yourself into some good trouble by coming to this tonight. The eagle ever stir in your nest. All right, I am that I am. Now, I want to talk about money on several levels. And I'll have you write this down, and Dr. McCarthy is going to write it on the screen. I want to talk about money. I'm going to start from the bottom, on the material level. And Scott's going to come up here in just a moment and define money for us on the material level. He's in college studying high finance. His dad is a preacher. Good to have a son studying money when you're in the ministry. And also I want to discuss and define money from the mental and psychic level. And the highest level, the spiritual level. Now you're going to have to get that, the tape, the money course tape. Because even between tonight and tomorrow night, I may not get to all 10 of these commandments, but you'll get them on the tape. Put in a commercial there. So jack up your credit card limit. Before you come tomorrow night, pawn your wig and everything and... Get every book and every tape that the bishop has. Get every book and every tape that I have. Man, and you go home and lock yourself in somewhere. And listen and do as the first psalm says. Meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. Until you just lose your mind and go plumb crazy. Reverend Ike has a tape out. I don't know whether it's here or not, but it's titled, Are You Crazy Enough to Succeed? And I'm going to tell you point blank. People with too much good sense will never amount to much. It has taken crazy people to be inventors and bring forth great things for humanity. Everybody who ever amounted to anything, they thought that something awful was wrong with them. Jesus exercised so much power casting out devils and demons until the church folks said, yeah, he's doing that by Beelzebub. See, they won't understand your power. So that's another thing, you know. You've got to get, you cannot be thin-skinned if you want to prosper. Say that to two people sitting next to you. You can't be thin-skinned if you want to prosper. You preachers, your other preachers will preach sermons on you. What if I can borrow another mic here for Scott in just a moment? You can give it to him now if you want to, so he'll be ready. Because he's going to tell us something about money on the material level in just a moment, if I ever get through ranting and raving and haranguing. You know, that's what sermon means, a harangue. So, I want to acquaint you with money on several levels. And I want to run through this again and let you write these down. The lowest level. On the lowest level, money is material. Now you see, that's why I tell you a lot of times, when I say money, people don't really always know what I'm talking about. Now that's the lowest level. Up a little higher, there is money on the mental and psychic level. I want to combine those levels for the moment. And then the highest, there is money on the spiritual level. Now, I've already defined it on the spiritual level, so I'll touch on it. On the spiritual level, the realization, I am money, that's the highest. Once you understand it on that level, and you begin to operate in money from the spiritual level, your experience with money will never be the same again. You will even be able to operate with money on such a high spiritual level that even when you don't have the material script at hand, you will still operate in money far beyond what even material money can accomplish. One of my definitions of money is the getting power of self-awareness. Let's hear it.
Money is the getting power of self-awareness.
Now that's somewhere there in the spiritual level. I am. I remember the Sunday at our church uptown some years ago when I preached on the subject, I am money. That week I flew to Paris, and there were five people preparing me to go. Preparing my passports, my money on the material level, credit cards, baggage, and one assistant went with me. As we were landing in Paris, I discovered that they had not put my material money on me, and not one credit card. And my intellect went to work on me. That, aha! You see, you told those people last week I am money. We'll see now. You know, even in the USA, and those of you that travel, you can witness to this. There are hotels where you cannot check in, even if you had a suitcase full of money. They will not check you in without a credit card. You'd have $1 million in cash in that suitcase. Matter of fact, if they see that, they'd call the cops. And you'd get a free room. Until they found out where you got that material money from. So my intellect went to work on me. Uh-huh. Okay, and here you are over here. You don't even speak the language. That's when I call God on the carpet again. You know, I have this habit of calling God on the carpet. You know, because I'm the kind of person, I don't want any kind of God that doesn't work. And if you serving some kind of God that doesn't work, I tell you it's the wrong one, baby. Get another one. I call him on the carpet. Says, well, Reverend Ike, isn't that arrogant? No, it's not. God says, concerning my sons. Who are God's sons? Those who know who they are in God and who God is in them. Concerning my sons and the works of my hand, command you me. That's my authority. Not only that, he says in the New Testament, come boldly. Oh, I got so tired of those little weak-kneed, sissified prayers. Anytime I catch anybody in my service praying one of those prayers like that, I stop them. And the first time I preached it in Miami at the county auditorium there, a little lady, while I was praying for the sick, she's sitting on the front row rubbing her arthritic knees. Please, Jesus. Please, I stopped in the middle of my prayer and said, Mama, don't you pray like that in here. Jump up and say, I am healed. Let me hear everybody say that.
I am healed. Woo.
And if you say it by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, it works. Come boldly. I called God on the carpet while we were landing in Paris. And I said, God, I just preached to those people Sunday. I am money. And I had five of them on my payroll preparing me for this trip. And one of them with me and none of them putting any of that material money and credit cards on me. My intellect said, you ought to fire them. Every one of them. I'll tell you, if you work for me, I'm fire happy. Let's get it or quit it. That's a warning for those of you who think you want to work for me. See, one of the things about me, I've done every kind of work and I know how it ought to be done. My first job was every Friday I'd clean that woman's house and wash her dishes, and I would mop from the front to the back, down the steps, wash all her dishes, and I declare to God that woman never washed a dish until I got there on Friday. And that was for the princely sum of $1. Every time I go back, I look at that house. I got to take me a camera. I got to take a picture of that house. So when I write my book, I can tell you how I got over, how I got over. My soul looks back, and I don't have to wonder. I know how I got over. See, that's why, as the bishop said, we use the term science. Gnoskia, gnoski in the original Greek, depending upon which province of Greece you're from, meaning to know. And religious people are afraid of science. I call my heresy the science of living. You need to learn how to live by science. Jesus said, you shall know, gnoskia, gnoski, you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free from wondering how to get over. Got to rush along now. What was I talking about? Paris, was I? Yeah. Huh? I called God on the carpet. I said, okay, God. I said, I am money today. And if it doesn't work, I am not going back to that church. I will never preach another sermon. Yeah. And at times in my life, it's just when I call God on the carpet, that, hey, what's going on? And everybody say, what's going on? You got to tell me what's going on. Hey, I've been preaching since I was 14. I've been telling people that you can do this and that and the other. Now you gotta come here and tell me something. And I told God, as the song says, I told Jesus. I said, you're gonna prove that I'm money today. I'm gonna prove it. I'm not going back there. I'm not gonna preach another sermon. Well, we landed in Paris and looked outside, and there was this long Peugeot limousine. I never saw one, a Peugeot limousine before. I don't think since. I looked over yonder, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me on. A big, long limousine coming after me. Coming for to carry me on. You know, some of you folks, you never saw a long car unless it's, you know, in a funeral procession. And they took me to the hotel. And I walked up to the desk. They checked us in and never asked for credit cards, money, or anything. Let me hear you say, I am money.
I am money.
And so we called New York, and they took my wallet, my credit cards, and my money, put it in Federal Express, which was right down the street in front of the Paris Opera House, and the next day we just went down there and picked it up. Never missed it. Never missed a beat. Let me hear you say, I am money.
I am money.
Now that's operating on the spiritual level. All right, let's come back down now to the material level, and we're going to get some academic definitions from a young egghead here. A young pointy-head intellectual. But now I want you to understand something. Everything material really begins on the spiritual level. Our Father is in heaven. Father means spiritual source. Most of you Christians think that our Father in heaven is an old man with gray beard sitting up there on a throne. Our Father in heaven is the highermost creative principle. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? In earth, just like it is done
in heaven.
A man can receive no thing unless it be given him from heaven. I, John, divine love, saw the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. I'm going to risk a little more heresy, but let me explain something to you from the point of physics. And I've got to touch on money here again as a vibration and as a psychic vibration on that level for a moment. There is a certain point of vibration where thoughts become things. Where the invisible becomes visible. Nothing is really static. Everything is in motion. Even this lectern here that seems solid, it is not. It began as an invisible idea in heaven at the very highest source with our Father. And when that idea began to come down, it got to the mental and the psychic level. And some man sat down with pad and paper or with a computer and sketched it out. And that thought became a thing. I find it interesting, and here is the worst heresy that you've heard tonight, perhaps, that a lot of Christians are dying to get to heaven. And I don't really remember where the Bible says that you get to heaven by dying. But I do know that Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer to call heaven down. Let me hear you say, come here, heaven.
Come here, heaven.
Right here in my kitchen.
Right here in my kitchen.
Right here in my pocketbook.
Right here in my pocketbook.
Stand up, let's finish this heresy. Well, it's the same thing. Thy King, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, what? Come. I put an exclamation point. I punctuated differently from the way King James did. See, that's another thing. I'm not bound by King James's punctuation. I pray thy kingdom
come.
Thy will
be done.
No, not over yonder. Not when I get up there. If I ever get up there, I won't need anything. But thy kingdom come, thy will be done where?
On earth.
On earth. Right here on 125th Street. Right here in Philadelphia. Right here in New York. And listen, you don't have to, I got a secret for you. You ready for this? You don't have to wait for the church to experience heaven. Listen, if you wait for the church, you'll be just like they used to sing in the church back home. And that's another song we got on the Don't You Ever Sing That Here. The song about how long the train been gone. I can't say it like I say it uptown, because uptown I'd say, it don't make no damn difference. Because it's gone. Don't make no difference, it's gone. Somebody left a kick out in the rain. I'm afraid that I can't take it, because it took too long to bake it. And you'll never have that recipe again. Now let's go back to the book. Saints, you all forgive me. Take what you can and leave what you can't. That word is from the Bible, too, by the way, I'd have you know. Listen. You don't have to wait for the church. And I'm going to urge you from this moment on, stop waiting for the church. That's the one of the problems with the church. They are in a hold mode. They've got God on hold. God is saying, I want to give it to you now. Now faith is. Hey! I'm winding up now. I got about 10 minutes. I got to do a little preaching too. What does the book of Hebrews say? Now faith is. But the church has got God on hold. They've got blessings on hold. They've got prosperity on hold. They've got money on hold. They've got heaven on hold. They've got Jesus on hold. Then yeah, he's coming back someday. They got him on hold. They are behind excitement, way over there in Revelation. I, John, saw the heavenly city. Already saw it. You waiting for it. You're hoping for it. But I, John, I've seen it already. I saw it coming down from God out of heaven. A dawn as a bride. Prepared. I like that word, prepared. You know, with a paring knife, you cut things out. God's already cut out your blessing. But you in the church have got God on hold. You put it over yonder. I don't guess we've got that tape here. Maybe it'll bring it tomorrow night. God's private telephone number. Some of you got it on hold. Well, he ain't here. He's up there. I know he's coming. I don't know when. But I, John, I didn't wait for that. I'm not waiting for y'all who waiting for Jesus. I, John, saw past tense way over there on the Isle of Patmos 2,000 years ago. I saw the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, the new state of consciousness, a new realization, a new demonstration coming down from church, and religion and the preachers have got you all so busy trying to get to heaven that you can't see that heaven wants to come down to you. Now, you do what you want to do, but I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm calling heaven down. Let me hear you say, heaven! Come on down here. 310 Riverside Drive.
310 Riverside Drive.
At 103 Street.
At 103 Street.
Now I'm going to have you put your address in there. You. Two addresses. Your church address. Your home address. Any address where you want some heaven. All right, here we go. Come on, let me hear you say heaven. Is where you want it to come. 6409 New York. 4140 Broadway. At 175th Street, New York City. Duke and Amos Street, Houston, South Carolina. General Post Office, Box 50, New York, New York. address box 9000, Boston, Massachusetts. What's your mailing address number that you...
4702 Farragut Road. Oh,
hallelujah. I got 4.5 minutes. Be seated. I don't know what I had you standing up for. Now, that's money on the spiritual level. On the way down, physics now. I don't want to use that heretical term, metaphysics. People are afraid of that, but it simply means above the physical. No more. And it comes from the metaphysical, the spiritual heaven, to the realm of mental idea. That's in the mental psychic realm. The vibrations are coming down. And then at a certain oscillation of vibration, I'm not going to tell you what the number is yet. A certain number of cycles per second, that heavenly idea, which is invisible, becomes visible as whatever you have called down. I remember in the Pentecostal church, we used to sing Jesus on the main line. Well, that's wonderful, good news, but it ain't good enough, because you got to tell him what you want. All right, Scott Williams, give him a great big hand. Tell us on the material level a definition for money.
On the material level, hallelujah. Money is a measure of wealth. It is something with intrinsic value. And it's a medium of exchange whereby buyer-seller transactions are taking place.
All right. Now, that's on the material level. But remember, it begins where? In heaven, on the spiritual level. And proceeds down to the mental, psychic plane. You see, when it gets to the mental, a psychic plane, something else happens. On the psychic plane, an idea contacts whoever and whatever are necessary on earth to bring about the manifestation of that idea.
Jesus.
You remember the old spiritual, don't wonder about him. God works a wonder. Don't wonder about him. And God's going to bring you in contact with people that you never met. From the east and the west and the north and the south. Whatever is necessary for that idea. Because as it passes through that mental psychic level, God prepares it. In Jacob's ladder, we see the prayer, the request going up as angels into heaven. Those angels disappear into heaven and come back down the ladder, bringing into manifestation the angel thoughts that you've set up. That's all I can say tonight. God bless you. Bless you. Let's hear it. Angels are God's thoughts passing to man. They're not just these little limp wrists. namby-pamby, sissified things that they've been drawing for thousands of years. The weak angel like that could never have sprained Jacob's leg. He was wrestling with his thought. God sent it. God sent him a powerful thought. Like some of you preachers tonight, you've heard some powerful thoughts, but you're going to have to wrestle with them because your members can't stand them. And God sent Jacob a powerful angel thought. He's wrestling with it. He said, listen, but I'm not going to let you go till you bless my soul. But he said, let me go. Now, what does that tell us? When God sends you these powerful angel thoughts, it's not enough for you to grab a hold of the idea and wrestle with it. Turn it loose. Release it. Oh, please release me. Let me go. I want to bless you some more. If you do not release your angel thoughts, inspiration, in time, but rather you hold on to it. Should I? Shouldn't I? What should I do? See, that's another thing. Never wrestle with how. What did I say? Never wrestle with how. Or you will get your mind out of joint. There's some of you right here now, God sends you a powerful angel thought. And you're just like Mary. How shall these things be? Seeing that I know not a man. Look, when God sends you an angel thought, you don't need nobody else. You see, now here is the esoteric meaning of the virgin birth. It is a demonstration of the ability of God to bring about the manifestation of God, the manifestation of good, without human aid. You fundamentalists have thought over it so much that you missed the highest meaning. How shall these things be? I ain't got nobody to help me. I ain't got no money. Shut up. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. With how. Now, you see, you can always tell God what, but never ask how. You got to know when you're operating in the intellect, when you're operating in the spirit. The intellect is good in its place. It's not supposed to go beyond its office of choice, of choosing. Choose you this day. It ain't none of your business how. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him. Jesus revealed the principle to us. He shall have whatsoever he says. You say it. Operate just like God. All God had to make the world out of it was his word. Nothing but his word. Let me hear you say nothing but the word. And the earth was dark, void, nothing. Darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, ooh, it sure is dark in here. No. God said, be light.
Come on here. Be light.
The King James did not get the correct esoteric translation. You want to know what the correct esoteric translation is? I am light. And the darkness ran from cover. And even in the New Testament, it tells us that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Yes. And you'd better get ready creating your world. Yes. I am light.